Come together this afternoon again. I know some of you have travelled quite a distance and it's a busy day and there are quite a number of commitments, so I'll bear that in mind. I'll try and finish before 5 o'clock to allow everyone to follow through the duties of the day. So we'll read again from the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I think just for connection and to give us the flavour of the passage, we'll start again at verse 1. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, and we'll read to the end of verse 12. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000, or he came from 10,000s of holy ones. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt incense, whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now, as I say, that will be sufficient for our reading just now. I don't want to recover or to recap all that we said last night, except to remind you that we took a look at the prologue to the blessing, which we have in verses 2 to 5 of this great chapter. And to this afternoon, we commence our examination of the catalogue of blessings that are now listed before us down to the end of verse 25. And that will leave us on Tuesday evening to take a look at the concluding four verses of the chapter, which provide us with the epilogue to the blessing. Now again, if I can remind you that those three distinct sections, they have a very distinct purpose. In the prologue of the blessings, Moses is giving to us the reservoir from which all blessing flow. He is showing us the greatness of God and the glory of God and the grace of God and the infinite resources that can supply the abundant blessings that we'll be examining now. In the epilogue, he's not dealing with the reservoir that produces blessing. In the epilogue, he will be examining the results which follow blessing. But in the catalogue, he is putting before us, as he mentions these different tribes, the full range which encompasses blessing. So that gives us some idea again, just to refresh our minds about the order of this very, very patterned and structured chapter. I might also say very generally, just for a second as well, that it is important for us to realize the outlook in this chapter. Moses is standing just on the eastern side of Jordan. He will never cross over into the land. He can see it. He has just appointed a successor, whom we all know as Joshua. And as Moses thinks of what Joshua will do for the nation, Moses revels in the blessings that are just awaiting these people under the commandership of Joshua. Of course, we know that there are spiritual blessings. There is a land of rich delight into which grace has brought us. The law could never bring us in. But a greater than Joshua has brought us in, so that when we are reading this particular chapter, we are thinking about the blessings that were to be enjoyed by the tribes in the promised land. They were not yet in, but Moses was looking across and he was anticipating what they would enjoy in the land of God's inheritance. And when we give it a spiritual application, we will be thinking in these various blessings of some of those privileges and advantages which become ours as seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Indeed, I think you could compare the expression with which the chapter opens, this is the blessing wherewith he blessed. It's compound. The blessing wherewith he blessed. And you couldn't read that double compound, blessing with blessing, and you wouldn't have your mind jumping to Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed us with all spiritual blessing. That's something that happens in Ephesians when the apostle wants to emphasize a concentrated thought. The love wherewith he loved. The working by which he wrought. The blessing with which he blessed. And when the verb and noun are repeated, it's concentrated blessing. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And the outlook of the blessing is people in the land of God's inheritance. Now we'll discover as well, there's an omission in the blessings here. As I mentioned last night, Simeon does not come in. And I'll just refer to that just in a few minutes. And I did mention again, but it is a very important now to restate it, that as we go through the verses from verses 6 to 25, there is an order in the blessing. There are 12 tribes, as you know, Simeon omitted, as I have said. Issachar and Zebulun are combined into one. So two of them combined, one of them omitted. And your mental arithmetic tells you that leaves 10 blessings. The number 10 is not selected at random. Just as the Ten Commandments give us the full range of God's moral demand, so these 10 blessings, they give us the full range of God's moral and spiritual blessings. And there is an order. As we will see, you start with the first one and you climb up and up and up and up until you reach blessing number 10 under Asher. And that is the pinnacle to which we all seek to aim. Now, I think I better come right away to the first of these blessings, the first of the specified blessings. We have it here in verse number 6 concerning Jacob's firstborn, the tribe of Reuben. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. Well, I'm not going to go into these things historically, and I'm not even going to think about them as they were in the land in detail. I'm going to be taking a little jump each time and come very quickly to the spiritual application. This is where we all began, isn't it? What was the first blessing? What was the first blessing you received when you came to put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Well, you say, I don't know. I don't know which one I got first, but the verse that I was thinking about is a verse that tells me God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, negative, but have everlasting life. And you say, I kind of got these two blessings. Number one was the assurance that I would never perish. And number two was the assurance that I had become the possessor of everlasting life. Yes, definitely. That's where I started. That's where you started. That's where Moses started. He says, let Reuben live and not die. You see, you can never proceed on the plane, on the rising plane of spiritual exercise, endeavor, and excellence. You can never proceed unless, first of all, you get life. Let Reuben live. I tell you, I do see many dear believers, and they're doing their best to make good Christians out of people that were never born again. And it's actually a job which neither the good C.H. Spurgeon nor D.L. Moody nor the Apostle Paul himself could accomplish. The whole experience of faith and of expansion in the things of God has to be based upon the communication of spiritual, eternal life. May God ever keep enshrined within our souls the reality of a true conversion. I'm not talking about a dramatic conversion. There was no drama in my conversion. Not at all. Just a little boy, and the Lord saved me in a bedroom, and the light didn't even flicker. There was no drama. But I tell you, it was very real. It was very real. And that very night that I trusted him, it was as if the great intercessor whom Moses represents here, he says, Lord, let Gilliland live. Not die. And I tell you, I began to live. I began to live, and I have been living ever since, and all that I received as a dark inheritance from the Adamic fountain of the human race, sin and death and condemnation, the stream was rolled back by the mighty arm and grace of Christ, and death and judgment gone forever. Grace and glory are before. Let Reuben live and not die. You remember, of course, that Reuben had committed a very grievous sin. According to the book of Genesis 49:35, Reuben had carnally defiled his father's couch. It was that very unseemly sin which made his father, his patriarchal father, speak the words of condemnation. Thou shalt not excel, unstable as water. Was it not the tribe of Reuben that had orchestrated the rebellion of Kor? Under law, Reuben was doomed. So that Moses intercedes for Reuben here immediately. And the guilty is given grace. Let Reuben live and not die. You know, I don't need to emphasize it, and I don't want to unduly put you the cotton wool this afternoon because the time is short. But I say this, we don't deserve to live. We don't deserve to be here. The sentence of death, had we received our condign treatment from the God of heaven, it would have been a sentence of eternal death. And as Chapman wrote, eternal death was once our doom. Now death has lost its sting. We rose with Jesus from the tomb. Jehovah's love to sing. And it's brought in, you say, well, why the repetition? Why the tautology? You see, this is Bible poetry. And he says it positively. Let Reuben live. But just in case you don't get the message, he reinforces it and he guarantees it and he says it negatively. He says, not only let him live, but he says, let him not die. He not only gets the life, but he escapes the sentence. And that, of course, again, is very, very beautifully what we get by way of spiritual blessing in the gospel on which we all commence, John's gospel. They shall never perish. They shall never perish. Whosoever cometh to me shall never hunger. If a man keep my saying, he shall never die. Dear brethren and sisters, where we all started, it has not only given us the positive blessing of everlasting life, but it has given to us the companion blessing that we have escaped everlasting death. So there is the grace that lets the guilty live, and there is the guarantee that says he shall not die. But then there is the growth. You see what it says next? You see, he'll just about survive. He'll not die. He'll live. But you know, there are people, and they just don't die. And they live, but that's just about all you could say. They're just surviving. They're just managing. And if they didn't have a few vitamins, they would never make it. But that's not the kind of experience where he says, let him live and not die, and let not his men be few. He says, let the tribe multiply. He says, I'm asking for this man, this unworthy man. I'm not only asking the blessing of grace. And he says, I'm not only asking the guarantee of security, but he says, I'm requesting growth. Well, that's a great thing, brothers and sisters, isn't it? You see a little boy saved. And he just begins to live. And you come back to see the same little boy 25 years later. And he can open the scriptures at any passage. And he's become an overseer amongst the Lord's people. And he has become a pillar of strength in the assembly. And the life that has commenced, that life has been evidenced by growth and by strength. Let not his men. We're not talking about children here. In fact, it would be normal. It's a rather unusual form of expression. Usually when it speaks about the posterity of a tribe, it would say, let not his children be few. Or let not his seed be few. But that's not, it says, let not his men be few. Because we're talking here about maturity and we're speaking about growth. Now, I think I better leave that because there are other things. And you'll begin to see that there is a spiritual order. I've called this first one the blessing of pardon. The guilty man that should have died is given life. This is the blessing of pardon. And to our dying day, and no matter how high we might rise upon the ladder of spiritual experience, I hope that there will be nothing that will ever erase within our minds just the marvelous wonder that our sins have been forgiven. That's the great thing. It's the foundation of it all. Sentence removed, forgiven, pardon. Well, you say, very good. We've all got that. Don't start preaching the gospel to us just yet. We'll hear more of that later on. What happens next? Well, we go to the second blessing. the blessing of Judah. What does it say about Judah? This is the blessing of Judah, and he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah." I'll give you a 20 pence piece if you can guess what this blessing is. I can tell you, if you had any doubt about this, there's a chapter in the New Testament that sits very closely alongside it. You know, there's a man who's been pardoned. One of the greatest antagonists of Christianity. Marvelously pardoned. In Acts chapter 9, you say, "But now you just need to be shaky. It's a shaky business. You wouldn't want a chance of it because you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know whether or not it's real." You know what the Lord says? He says he's all right with holy prayer. He's praying. So to the blessing of pardon, we have now added the blessing of prayer. Let the voice of Judah be heard. This is God now beginning to listen, not only to the voice of praise, because Judah means praise, but God is also listening to the voice of prayer. You know, I can remember. I can remember when first I tried to pray. Actually, it was nearly instinctive. I was praying before I came to any of the ministry meetings. The brethren didn't tell me to do it. There's no part of my life so weak as prayer. That's the big vacancy. I would confess that publicly before you all, and I scarcely need to confess it. But leaving that aside, I'm not talking now about the volume of prayer and the degree of prayer. But you know, there's a something about every true believer. There's a response in his heart, generated by the Holy Spirit, which, without instruction, says, "Abba, Father." Let the voice of Judah be heard. I might speak just here very quietly and simply to some of the younger believers. You know, if you want to grow, and I know you would like to grow, and if you want to get the strength that we talked about just at the end and want to become a man or a woman of God with spiritual maturity, one of the ways to guarantee that is to make sure that you develop a prayer life. There are some people who become prayer warriors and they can spend hours in prayer. You may be able to do that. That will be very good. Personally, I cannot pray for a long time. I would rather pray a little and often than have one big long stint. You will have your own technique in the presence of God. But whatever your plan is, I would encourage young believers, do your best to cultivate a prayer plan in your life, because it will funnel into your life the necessary supply of grace for the needs of every day. I say in the words of this second blessing, let your voice be heard in the courts of heaven. Now, just when I'm on that, this business of voice, for younger believers, I often say this. It will be a helpful thing to you if you have a little space. Some of you may not have this, the Lord understands. But you will find it helpful if you can have a little private place where when you are praying, I'm not saying every time, but at least certain set times when you're praying, that you can pray aloud. If you try to pray without speaking, pray into oneself, as we say, you will find that your mind wanders very easily. But if you try to formulate your petitions into words, but you say there are times I just don't know what to say and I just can't. Well, I would do the best you can. Try and get your sense of need and your thoughts and your petitions into words and verbalize and vocalize them in the presence of God. because God loves to hear the listening of his children. Let the voice of Judah be heard. Well, you say, what do I pray about? You say, I don't know anything to pray about. Well, God bless you if you don't know anything to pray about, because there's so much to pray about. Well, look at this. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. That's one thing to pray about. The fellowship of the brethren. Bring him unto his people. You know that one of the most ugly rifts in the whole course of biblical history is the separation between Judah and the rest of the tribes. It hasn't been healed yet. It will be healed. But he says, Lord, when Judah goes out in the forefront of the battle, you remember Judges chapter 1, Judah was the first tribe to lead the warfare. I think it's in that context that this prayer is offered. And he says, when he goes out and leads the battle and takes the front line, he says, Lord, bring him back. Bring him back unto his people. So that the fellowship of the tribes will not be disrupted. Dear brother, if you want something to pray about, I'll tell you this. You ask God that there might be nothing come into your life that would in any way disrupt the spiritual fellowship of the saints here. That's a good thing. Bring him unto his brethren. Then later in the verse, let his hands be sufficient for him. Later in the verse still, be thou an help to him from his enemies. That is, he says, Lord, I would love that you would not only give him, help him in the fellowship, but he says, help him in the fight. Let his hands be sufficient for him. That's a military term. Let him, as we would say in our language, let him be in a position to hold his own. Don't let his hands drop in despair and defeat. Let his hands be sufficient in the fight. And he said, remember him against his foe. He says, preserve him from any of the enemies that would encroach upon his territory. Do you want something to pray about? Ask God to preserve the fellowship. Ask God to help all the Christians to hold their hands high in the spiritual fight. And ask God that he may keep every one of us from an attack of spiritual foes. Isn't it great? Isn't it great, dear fellow believers, that we have such a thing as the privilege? The privilege. Sometimes we feel unworthy to pray. You know, the marvel is this, that by the blood of Christ, we have an open invitation so that we're always welcome at the throne of grace. I was telling them somewhere across with us the other day that a few months ago they sent me one of these cards. I seem to get up to two of these a week, one of these money cards. And they sent me one called Access. And I just forget the detail now. I think it gave me, they were going to give me access to, they weren't taking any risks, about £3,000. They must have known quite a bit about me. £3,000 they put at the financial ceiling. And I think they said on the card, the flyer that came with it, that there were 24,000 outlets worldwide. You happen to land in Iceland, too bad. You just had to work with icebergs. You couldn't get access to their resources. And they said that quite a number of those outlets, they give 24-hour service. Others give 16-hour service. I felt like writing back and told them that I had access a long time ago. In one spirit. By him. In one spirit. We have access unto the Father. You say, well, does that mean you get access to £3,000? The unlimited resources of heaven. We can bank and tap. Will you say, is there anywhere in the face of the globe where you may go where this will not work? Whether it's Africa or Australia, whether it's Iceland or Ireland, the sanctuary door is always open. We have access. Dear brother and sister, this is one of the spiritual blessings of the upper land. May God enable us to exploit it and to employ it and explore it. The blessing of pardon. The blessing of prayer. And the range of prayer. Well, I thought I'd be finished now, but men and brethren, what shall we do? I think, I just mentioned this third one. You see, it's a long one because this is a very, very important section, but I'll race through it. We'll take a frog leap through this section. Verses 8 down to verse 11 is the blessing of Levi. And again, I wouldn't even give you 20 pence piece to get if you guessed what this blessing is. You start with pardon. You move on to prayer. And then the next layer on this ascending scale of blessing is just the superlative privilege of priesthood. Priesthood. That is coming into God's sanctuary, being in touch with Him. Now, what exactly does priesthood mean? Well, in this little paragraph, we have a great outline of some of the advantages of priesthood. The first advantage of being a priest in the family is this, that you have God's will. Look at verse number 8. Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thine Holy One. Secondly, verse number 10, you have God's word. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, Israel thy law. Thirdly, you have God's worship. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifices upon thine altar. Two altars, the golden altar and the burnt offering altar. And then you have God's work. Look at verse number 11. Bless Lord his substance and accept the work of his hands. And then you have God's warfare. Look at the end of verse 11. Smite through the loins of them that rise against them and of them that hate them that they rise not again. You see all these blessings? God's word, God's will, God's worship, God's work, and God's warfare. Moses says, these are going to be some of the unique privileges of the tribe of Levi. I'll have to draw a line there, and we maybe take it up from there tomorrow evening. Brethren and sisters, we'll see where we go on. Look at the next one, just for good measure, in case you're all worried. I wouldn't want you to be lose sleep tonight over. At verse number 12, because I won't have time much to go back. What about Benjamin? Oh, look at this. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. This is communion. The Lord shall cover him all day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Pardon. Prayer, priesthood, power, dwelling between the mighty shoulders of Jehovah. Upheld with supernatural strength, God says those who pray to me and those who come into priestly exercise and follow my will and explore my word. Dear young believer, these are the two things. The blessing of Judah is the blessing of prayer. The blessing of Levi is the enjoyment of God's word. And once you develop an enjoyment of those two, it will bring you to a place of spiritual protection. That's the fourth blessing. The blessing of Benjamin, the son of his right hand, covered beneath the canopy of divine providence and just kept safe beneath the shelter of his wing. Is it any wonder we say, dear brothers and sisters, that we have a full range of blessings here? And you know what I'm going to tell you? There's six more to come. So you wouldn't want to miss tomorrow night. Because just to get four and six still waiting, I tell you, this is something. Moses, the man of God, may the Lord help us to appreciate it ministry, shall we pray.